Scare B&B, submitted by MM Mike.
Hi, Edie and Nick. This happened while I was on vacation in Montreal with my boyfriend and my sons. We were staying in an Airbnb in an old building that's been renovated. On our first night, I woke up around 3 a.m. Before waking up, I remember feeling cool around me. Since it's almost fall in Canada, I figured that must be it. I tried to go back to sleep for 20 minutes, eventually falling asleep. In my dream, we were in the same Airbnb sleeping. I woke up with the blanket off of me. My sons are in the room. We're on the other side sleeping on the sofa bed. And I hear a noise. I was too scared to check, so I try to fall asleep again, not realizing I was in a dream. The blanket was now being lifted above our heads, as if someone was standing over us. I try to call my boyfriend's name, but nothing was coming out. I was frozen in fear. This keeps happening over and over in my dream. Blanket lifting, unable to call out to my boyfriend. Finally, whatever it was grabbed me. I saw the thing's face with four eyes, two on top of each other. When I finally woke my boyfriend up, the blanket was lifted again. Then he saw it too. Then whatever this thing was got very angry. I actually woke up and I was really worried. Since the Airbnb is in an old building, I wonder about its history. Maybe I'm tired from the trip and the lack of sleep is making me have sleep paralysis in my dream. Thanks, guys.
All right. Welcome to the True Scary Stories with Edie podcast, the podcast where two comedians read scary stories submitted to us by our fans, the Uglies. What's up, guys? And thank you so much for sharing your scary story with us. I loved it. Well, a couple things here. First of all, when you're traveling, I do think that disturbed sleep patterns and things like that could affect, you know, dreams, and you might get a more spooky dream than usual. Just like when you're, you know, pregnant or something, sometimes you have really vivid dreams. I mean, I wouldn't know, I've never been pregnant, but, or when you're taking a medication, you get very crazy dreams. Some people, it's like, even before, if they eat before they go to bed, crazy dreams. So it doesn't surprise me that travel might give you some more vivid dreams. Also, there's a strong possibility that your B&B was haunted. These places usually do end up being haunted, and a really easy way for a ghost to communicate with you and connect to you is when you're sleeping. So you might have been going into this place where there's been a lot of people before you, there's a lot of energy, there's a lot of people with different times in their life and different vibrations going into this place, sleeping there and then leaving, and it leaves so much energy stuck in the place. And there's also maybe people who have died there or people who had a strong emotional connection to the place. So they might still be there. It's very, very likely with how many people come and go in that place. So you went there, you slept. It could have been a combination, but I would say there might have been something there, and it probably was doing what it does in the easiest format to reach you, which is during your sleep. Nick?
I think it was sleep paralysis. Different place. You're in a place you don't recognize. You're probably worried about the trip. Trips are stressful for most people. Rarely are trips relaxing.
Right. Everyone's like, let's go on a vacation. And that's always like the most stressful thing in the world.
Yeah. They say the ultimate amount of time to spend on a vacation is 8 days. Anything less, anything more is stressful.
Oh.
Because you're trying to fill it all up. So I just think that was it. I have had this plenty of times when I travel in different hotel rooms. And since I'm was constantly in a different hotel room, I just learned my routine to make sure it wouldn't happen. And it was as simple as leaving a light on in the room for myself. So when I woke up, I knew where I was.
Yeah, that's the worst when you wake up and you don't know where you are.
Yeah.
You'd wake up so fast, like, that, yeah. And I also think it could be haunted.
I mean, you know, you're right about the different energies and things like that. And obviously, any place that is a hotel everybody's coming to, Airbnb, they're stressed on their vacation too. I'm going with sleep paralysis.
Right.
I'm going to stay on that.
I what happens to you is it happens to me very often, but it's usually never scary. It's more of an annoying problem, is that I also think I'm awake and I just feel very, very tired. And I'm like, oh, maybe I'll go back to sleep for a few seconds. And I'll be like, no, I think I'll call out to somebody, or I think I'll get up. And then I'll try to get up and I'll be like, oh, I can't get up. And then I'll be like, huh. Okay, well, I guess I'm not awake, and I just go back to sleep. But that happens to me, too. I'm sure I'm awake, and then I guess I'm not.
I've never known how many minutes that I've tried to fall asleep before I fall asleep is. I just fall asleep. Like, I don't just fall asleep. I just don't. I'm not aware of time. So when people are like, yeah, I tried for 20 minutes, and then I fell asleep, I'm like, How do you know?
I'm definitely aware because I'm like, man, I'm still not asleep.
I know how long I've been, but then as soon as I'm asleep.
And then I start to get frustrated and I'm like, oh, don't get frustrated because then you're not going to be able to fall asleep.
Yeah.
All right. Exactly. Let's keep going. Is She Angry? Submitted by Cynthia.
Hey, Edie and Nick. Thanks for reading my story last time. I love the podcast. I binge it every night after I found it, and now I'm caught up. I have a couple of experiences that I've had myself before the coffee experience with my boyfriend. Here's one story. I can't remember how old I was when these things started happening and when they happened, but I know I was under 13. I was living with my great-grandmother. When we would go to bed, we would hear the pots and pans moving in the kitchen and footsteps, like someone was getting ready to cook. I remember it just being us in the house. There would be no one else there. We never got up to look because we were scared. If I'm honest, we probably didn't want to see anything paranormal in the kitchen. Honestly, don't know if it ever stopped or if I just got used to it. Here's a second story. My great-grandma passed away when I was a junior in high school. A couple of months after she passed, I would have vivid dreams of her. We'd be somewhere eating and I would be talking to her, telling her all the current events in my life. It would feel so real. I'd wake up thinking that I talked to her in person. Then reality would sink in and I would remember she passed. If you haven't figured out yet, we were really close. I lived with her up until I was 13. After a while, I'd start having dreams of her being mad at me and me not knowing why. Then I'd have dreams of her not mad at me. It was kind of back and forth. Of course, I was upset when I'd dream of her mad at me. Then I would have less and less dreams of her. About 3 years after she passed, I moved in with my now boyfriend. I had this dark blue sweater that was hers. I would wear it a lot. One day I found a gray hair on the sweater. I freaked out because I have black hair and no one that had visited had gray hair. My grandma had black and gray hair. On three occasions, I found one piece of gray hair. They all looked the same length. Then nothing. No hair and no dreams of her for a long time. Or I don't remember them. The most recent dream I had was almost a year ago. In my dream, my boyfriend and I were trying to let her meet our baby that's going to be 2 in September. I vividly remember us walking up to the porch of the house. We were trying to talk to her, but she was just mad. As we were walking back to our car, tornado sirens started going off. I looked up and there was a tornado coming to us. So we turned back to her house, but she absolutely refused to let us in. I woke up and felt sad. I haven't had a dream since or anything. It's going to be 10 years since she passed away in December. Also wanted to note she never met my boyfriend. I love hearing y'all's opinion and commentary on stories. I would love to know what y'all think of these two stories. Love y'all. Bye.
All right. We love you too. Thank you so much for submitting your story. This is a really complicated one. It's not uncommon for a loved one when they pass to visit you in your dreams, just like the previous story that we said that ghosts, spiritual entities, they can easily access you in your sleep. So the fact that you told me that you had some dreams about her afterwards didn't really surprise me until you told me that she was mad at you in some of these. And I wonder if maybe this is just, you know, your mind going through the grieving process, or if you were doing something maybe that your grandmother didn't like. You said you had a boyfriend. Was your grandmother, and your grandmother never met him. Yeah. Was your grandmother maybe against premarital sex, as most grandmothers are?
Yep.
Or maybe you were going about your life a kind of a way that she wouldn't have wanted you to. Right. I don't know what kind of person your grandmother was. Obviously, she was a great person because you said that you guys were very close. I was very close with my grandmother as well, but we had very, very different views on most things.
Yeah.
So I get this feeling that it was really her, and that maybe you were maybe doing something that she was maybe trying to steer you in the direction of, hey, that's not the way I raised you. What do you think, Nick?
No, I just think you feel bad that your grandmother hasn't been able to meet your child. I think this is all you. I think you just feel bad and you're having visions of her because it's something that you're dealing with. Obviously, since you lived with her, you would have loved for her to meet your child. You would have loved for her to meet your boyfriend. You would have loved for her to continue to be in your life. And this is what you're feeling. It's more a sense of, I think you are just going to have these moments when someone passes. They don't quite leave us. We continue to think about them randomly. And no matter the amount of time, you're going to continue to think about her. So I think it's just you were kind of stressing out. It's near your baby's 2 year, you know, she's about to be 2 years old and you wish grandma was there to see her. And the anger is more you being angry with your situation. You know, and with the tornado warning and all, that's you. That's your brain saying, I wish she was here. I'm angry at the situation. Because I've had dreams that are similar, where there's tsunami warnings or something's happening, and I wake up and I know that I'm just angry about my current situation.
Okay, you're more of in the interpreting the dream.
Yeah, I think it's more you just wish that she could meet your baby. I think that's really it. And if you could, you know, you say you don't have these dreams often. If you want to feel better about it, write a letter to great grandma. You know, my baby's this and that, write it, you know, get the feelings out and say, love you always, great grandma, you know, and...
Right, that's why people have those, like, ceremonies where they light the little lanterns and they write a note on it so they can, you know, let things go. And they also have the where you write it down, you burn it, and, you know, that's supposed to help you kind of grieve through the process and kind of help you to the next step of moving on. So that might be helpful for you to try. I also, on another note, was very close to my grandmother as well, and your story has a lot of similarities to mine, except for my grandmother never visited me in a dream, but I also have some of her things, and they smell like her a lot, and so I think that's important to keep that kind of stuff around you. And the hair thing, I think, is very interesting, and I think that might be a little nod to you, and I think you should treasure that, because not a lot of people get that little bit of, like, kind of notice, like, okay, she's still kind of watching out for me.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure you've worn the sweater many times, like you said, and you've never seen hairs on it. So that's kind of a nod to you, and I think that is her communicating with you.
Yeah, maybe just saying, don't stress about it. You're good. You're fine.
Yeah, maybe she knew that you were having the dreams, and she was like, hey, look, it's me. I'm fine. I'm still watching you. Those are not me.
Yeah.
You know, that's not it. Maybe that was trying to secure her to you, like, I'm not mad at you.
Yeah.
That makes way more sense than what I said before.
Yeah, I don't think she's mad at all.
Yeah, sorry. I don't know why I said that. That was
Yeah.
You know what? I retract that statement. Don't listen to anything I say. Your grandma she's definitely communicating with you now through the hair and stuff like that, because you didn't see that stuff on there before. So obviously she's trying to give you a nod, like, hey, I'm still here watching over you. Now, if your baby starts growing gray and black hair, then you know you gave birth to
your
grandmother.
There you go.
All right. Anything else about this?
No.
Did I do all the announcements? I can't even.
I don't think you told anybody.
All right. So this is a podcast, as you know, from now. This is a podcast where two comedians read. I did do this part.
Okay.
We read scary stories. You figured it out.
Yeah.
Also, if you want to submit your story the way these two uglies did, you can do it on our Facebook group, which is at True Scary Stories with Edie, or you can do it on our Instagram, which is also at True Scary Stories with Edie. And we're getting Patreon, we're getting shirts, we're getting all that stuff out to you guys. So look out for that coming in October. Anything else?
Nope.
All right, let's go. All right, and with that, we are on to today's topic, which is so great because I asked Nick if we could do this one because it's so spooky to me, and I guess he figured it out. Today's topic is D-O-L-L-S, dolls, and we're not talking about Bratz dolls here. We're talking about the creepy creepies, the creepity of the crappity. I didn't want to say crap, but I guess I did. Creepy dolls, you know them. There's everything from Annabelle, Robert the doll, and even the doll that I saw move, which I cannot do a podcast without bringing up. And you know I had to bring it up this time. All right. First story is called Nightly Routine, and it comes to us from Princess Manda.
When I was a little girl, maybe around 4 or 5, I had a very large doll collection. Within this same time frame, we moved to a different town. That's where things started to get weird. I would feel as if I were being watched. I grew terrified of my dolls. At night, I would turn all their heads backwards. Creepy, I know, but it helped me not feel as scared. In the morning, however, all of their heads would be facing me. Of course, I was freaked out. But I figured my mom had done that before she woke me up. Spoiler alert, she had never touched my dolls. My dad couldn't have been the one to do it. He worked nights, and my sister never went into my room. My head turning had become a nightly thing. In the morning, all of their heads would be turned back around. This was really starting to scare me at this point. I eventually convinced my mom to give my dolls to my grandma, who is obsessed with dolls. Since I see my grandma almost every day, I see those dolls a lot. I still get fidgety around them. My grandma said they don't act up for her. Most recently, I've discovered that my house is haunted by more than one spirit. They manifest themselves in different ways now. They like to turn off my TV while I'm watching Netflix, turn on my sister's Xbox in the middle of the night, and move my stepbrother's phone across his room. Personally, I have seen two of these spirits, but feel a constant presence.
Oh, right. So obviously here the problem wasn't the dolls.
No.
The problem was the spirits that were in the house that are moving the phone and doing all that kind of stuff. Those are the spirits that were turning your doll heads. I myself, because I had a experience with a spirit moving a doll, nodding its head at me, it was very scary. I used to just throw like blankets over my dolls.
Yeah.
So that they wouldn't be looking at me. But turning their heads, yeah, that just seems like the next day they're going to be turned back. You got to throw a blanket on them. Throw a blanket on them. And if you wake up and they're out of the blanket, then you got to like wrap them in the blanket and then like tie a bow around it and throw them in the closet.
What if they folded
and then set
the
house on fire?
What if they folded the blanket and put it at the edge of your bed?
Whoa. And then you could put your clothes up there and then they could fold those and put them at the edge of your bed.
Or what if they folded the blanket, put it at the edge of the bed, got a hand towel, turned it into an animal in the shape of an animal, and put it on there like a cruise ship hotel
person. And left a mint?
And left you a mint?
I guess then I would be okay with it.
Okay.
All right. It's a Gift, written by Only Anna.
When I was 9, I had a row of porcelain dolls on top of a bookshelf in my room. There must have been about 10 to 12 dolls, but one of them stood out from all of them. My grandma had given it to me, but she never told me where she got it from, and she still won't. It had curly hair, was in a fairy costume, and of course played music. You had to wind it up to make the music play. It would play a tune from Swan Lake or something. It would occasionally play music in the middle of the night. As a child, I took no notice of the music. I still thought it probably had juice in it from winding it up earlier. That was until it started playing more frequently and I started having reoccurring bad dreams about the doll. In the dreams, it would be watching me, and when I woke up, its beady eyes would actually be watching me. This is where it started to get really freaky. My cousin was staying over one night. She kept muttering, the eyes, in her sleep. The music started playing, but the music was playing slower than usual. I glanced up at the doll, who again looked to be staring at us. Then my cousin started gasping for air, thrashing about violently. I tried to scream, but no noise escaped my mouth. The doll's music seemed to be the only noise playing slowly and loudly until it stopped. My cousin instantly sat up, shaking and catching her breath. She muttered, "Help me." I touched her and tried to reassure her by telling her about the doll. She just stared at the bookshelf. I got up, opened my window, hands trembling, and threw the doll out, causing the doll's foot to break off. My cousin refuses to ever come into my room. I never told anyone about the doll. You might be wondering what happened to the doll. The doll is in a plastic bag tied tightly with the others. It was a gift after all.
Oh, well, there we go. That's exactly what I would say to do. Put in a plastic bag, beat the bag, and then burn the house down.
but the doll was trying to choke the cousin in sleep.
I know. Well, that's a cousin. That's what happens to cousins when they come over.
You
get choked. When my cousin used to come over, she used to make me sleep near the closet. So if something came out of it, it would get me first and she would have time to run away.
Oh man.
And which I wouldn't mind if she made me sleep near the closet if she didn't explain to me her plan before she made me do it. It's like, okay, well you could have just had me sleep next to the closet. You didn't have to tell me that you were using me as a decoy.
Do you think the cousin insulted the doll?
I don't know. Maybe the doll was just feeling like territorial, like, hey, this is how ghosts and spirits do. Get out. You know how they always say, get out?
She's mine, get out.
Yeah. Ghosts are very clingy.
Yeah.
Very territorial. All right, anything else about this one?
I just wish her grandmother told her where she got the doll.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's kind of, well, that's not that strange. Grandparents forget that kind of, she probably got it at a thrift store. Her grandparents get everything.
And just didn't want to say nothing.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. She probably found it in a dumpster or something.
Do you know the haunted cabinet thrift store?
It was probably in a dumpster with like a bag wrapped around it.
And a note that said, do not open
this bag or something like that. And my favorite part of the story is when she said she tried to scream. I tried to scream it, or her cousin tried to scream, but her head was underwater.
Oh, silly.
Do you know that song?
Well, no, but I know the clip.
All right, let's keep going. Lost Its Baby, written by Anna Brunna.
Out of all the 8 grandkids, I was Grandma's second favorite grandchild. My eldest cousin, who is the boy, is her first favorite. My grandma worked in the U.S. when I was born so that she could support my education. Every few months, we'd receive a very large package from her. The package contained books, coloring material, school bags, shoes, toys, you know, stuff that I needed. My grandma always bought me different types of toys, from RC toy cars to skateboards to roller skates and even dolls. I used to have a good collection of Barbie dolls and dolls that can sing. I'd never really played with them as much as a kid. I always preferred playing outside. When I was 8, my grandma went home from America to stay with us for 3 months. She bought me this doll. It was half my height. She wore this beautiful white dress, her hair was brown and wavy, and her eyes were blue. She also carried a baby in her arms. I was fascinated. My grandma turned it on and it started to sing a lullaby. Fast forward a few months, the doll's baby went missing. I'd stopped playing with the doll. I just put her in my toy cabinet. Nothing out of the normal happened. Until one night, I heard her sing. I turned on the light. She stopped. I removed her batteries and went back to bed. The next week, whenever I walked across my room, I noticed that her eyes were following me. I told my aunt. She said that it was probably my imagination. A few days passed. I turned 9. I know it was a Sunday because I was late for Sunday school. I was in a hurry. As I was going out of my room, my toy cabinet fell on top of me. Luckily, my bed was parallel to the cabinet, so it didn't crush me, nor did it hurt me at all. But as I looked up, I saw the doll looking straight at me, her arms outstretched. I managed to get the cabinet off of me. I took the doll and burned it in the backyard. After that, I told my grandma to never give me dolls.
All right. Well, it seems like all these dolls are coming from grandmas. Grandmas have no spidey sense for evil in dolls.
Mm-mm.
They're just like, oh, this is pretty. I love dolls. Grandmas do love dolls.
Yep.
My grandma had a bunch. She collected bears.
You know, I think...
Teddy bears, not regular bears.
Yeah. I think people get to a certain age...
Where they love dolls.
Not where they love dolls, yes, but not that. I think they get to a certain age where they forget that everyone else still needs to live their life and they become less concerned. If this doll kills him, I'm a grandma. I made it this far. And I think that goes to their head. Like, I live this long. They should too.
Yeah.
So they're willing to buy their grandchildren dangerous things or mm-hmm. do dangerous things with them.
Or it's also an older generation just doesn't really believe in ghosts and stuff like that.
No, they're usually the most superstitious.
Well, maybe in your culture, but in my American...
yeah?
No, my family was like, no, that's not true. maybe my parents would have never talked about it because they wouldn't want to spook us out.
Yeah.
But those things were also considered really evil. Like listening to this podcast when I was a kid would have been very evil.
Yeah.
It would have been not allowed because you talk about evil things.
Yeah, that's right. Your parents were against Pokemon.
Yeah, they were really religious when I was younger.
And Harry Potter.
They've let go now that it doesn't matter. Now that we're already grown up, now they're not like that. But yeah, they would have been like, you can't talk about spirits.
Well, I think as people get older and their kids get older, they're like, well, I kept them safe from the spirits that I could.
Yeah.
Now it's on them.
Now it's the devil's business.
Yep.
Yeah, it does seem that these do come all from grandparents. Stop giving your grandchildren these creepy dolls.
I know. Actually, when we continue the rest of the stories, you will keep hearing that.
That grandparents.
Yep.
Between stories, I went and got my own doll. I have a very creepy American Girl doll. I have Molly. For all you old school American Girl fans who know that there used to only be a couple American girls. Mm-hmm. It was Molly, Samantha, and they came with books. It was like educational. Now it's not like that. Now you just like make an American Girl doll, like a Build-A-Bear.
Yeah.
But before you had to pick one.
Well, you know, back in the day, people were more about this
education.
This is a standard American. And
right.
Now you get to make
Right.
What America.
Each of
is.
The dolls like came with a history of the time period they grew up. I have Molly, who grew up in the Great Depression, and
oh,
her
yeah?
dad went to war. Yeah.
Oh, man.
And her family lost all her money. There was like a bunch of books about her, and it was not all sad. It was happy too. But my sister got her doll, and hers came with like frontier stories.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, educational. But for all of you who know, I have that. And I even tricked Nick into thinking, because this doll is so creepy, I told him that the thing about American Girl dolls was the only person who can smell what they smell like is their owner.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I told him that. I was like, can you smell this doll? I was like, see, to me, it smells like cupcakes. Do you smell cupcakes? And he said, no. I said, wow, there was like this rumor that only the owner of the American Girl doll could smell it.
Oh.
And I was like, you really can't smell it? You're like, no. And you believe me that was true.
Oh, I believed you. I did.
That was like some kind of like a spell or something that only the owner could smell it.
Oh, man, I remember believing that.
Okay, Nick, whatever.
Hold on.
Okay, you look so cool on the podcast. Believed it.
Okay. So your doll came with a backstory, all that. I mean, guys' toys comes with backstories also.
Mm-hmm.
Except ours.
Do they come
with
books?
Yeah, they come with books too. You know, it's just ours are like, these turtles got stuck in mutagen and they became ninjas. And here's a book about it.
Yeah, they're like, isn't that cool? They eat pizza.
Yeah.
And girls' books are, yeah, you're right.
She was on the frontier with her mother.
Yeah, her mother, her four sisters. Her sister had scurvy.
She had a goat, a pet goat that they ate for dinner.
Girls need drama.
Yeah, I know.
Give me a dead relative.
Yeah. Mine is, he was the master of his universe.
They were raised by a rat.
Yeah.
Through Its Eyes, from Taz J.S.
The only thing that will surely haunt me my entire life are dolls. I was talking to my mom recently. Apparently, ever since I was one or two, I always tried to stay away from dolls. I would get uncomfortable around them. But when I was four, I had a traumatic experience because of a doll. My great-grandmother, not knowing any better, decided to get me a doll for my birthday. It stood up on its own, had brown hair, freckles, a dress, and very detailed blue eyes. It was very beautiful, but I was trembling at the sight of it. My mom, for some unknown reason, decided to set it on the dresser that was across the room from our bed and have it facing us. It was fine the first two nights. The only thing is, I wouldn't sleep at all. There was just something about the way that the doll's eyes glimmered, even if it was pitch black outside. In the morning, I told my mom to put it somewhere where I'd never be able to find it. Somewhere where I would never look in the first place. A place where I can't reach nor see it. She hid it while I was in another room. I came back and I looked around everywhere for it. I couldn't find it, so I told her to keep it where it was. That night, I went to sleep without any worries about the doll. My mom slept a little better that night too. But in the middle of the night, I woke up to the sound of the doorknob to the room jiggling. I tensed up and waited, too scared to wake up my mom. The door opened, and standing there was my doll, looking at me. I looked straight into her eyes. Then I suddenly wasn't in the room anymore. I was on the top shelf of the closet that was next to our room. There were folded towels in front of me. The closet was at an angle so I could see our room, but the door was slightly cracked open, and the doll wasn't standing there anymore. I blinked, and I was back in our room. The doll wasn't there. I screamed bloody murder. I shook my mom up. She turned on the light, and I remember screaming, "The closet, the doll's in the closet, it's on the top shelf, all the way in the back." My mom turned pale. She got up, opened the door of the closet, reached up, and grabbed the doll. We're both terrified. The next morning, she put the doll in a bag and set it out on the curb for the trash man to pick up. Neither of us rested easy that night. It's been years since this happened, but I'm still terrified of dolls. People often tease me about it. At least I wasn't alone when this happened, and I have somebody who still believes me. I asked my mom if she remembers, and she does. Neither of us will ever be able to look at dolls the same way again.
Yeah, who would forget? Oh, yeah, do you remember that time that a doll tried to kill us and tried to switch bodies with me? Do you guys remember that? Or yeah, I remember that. And who makes fun of somebody for that? I mean, it's like, oh, yeah, I'm scared of dolls. Yeah, that's a common fear. Less like people are scared of clowns. Why? They're creepy. You shouldn't have to explain it to somebody. Like, I'm scared of spiders. Why? Creepy.
Well, but that's exactly why people make fun of people. People make fun of people for all their fears, no matter what you feared.
My dad used to make fun of me. Even when I was in college, I was scared of the dark. And me and my roommate, even though we were both in college, would sleep with the light on. And my dad used to make fun of me for that. And I used to be, I'm not afraid of the dark. I'm afraid of what's in the dark. So, and then that's when my dad famously said, yeah, but do you really want to see what kills you?
Yeah.
Or do you, you just want to go out in one moment? That's what I'd like.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so.
Oh, your dad's tough.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I guess, I don't know. I mean.
So your dad's afraid of seeing his killer.
I don't want to see, well, if it's a monster or a demon, do you really want to see what kills you before you die?
I mean, what does it matter if you see it?
It's more traumatic.
If you're going to die, you're going to die.
Yeah, but would you rather die by being eaten by a shark or just die in your sleep? One of them is definitely more traumatic.
Yeah.
So,
well, definitely. That's why I said your dad's fear is seeing what kills him.
I think
him.
Everybody's fear is a traumatizing death. That's everybody's fear.
Yeah.
A terrible traumatizing death. That's why we have a podcast.
Yeah.
Is fear. Uh-huh. So everybody's afraid of that. So
well,
what would
you
rather die?
So now
would
you're picking.
You rather?
See how quick you're picking on me? You see how quick that happened? In less than 15 seconds, you turned on me and you're like, I don't know why people pick on people with their fear. Like, damn. It wasn't even my fear. Man.
No, I'm not picking on you because of that. I'm picking on you because you're not understanding how simple it is.
Yeah,
people don't want to see, have a traumatic death.
Yeah,
that's
why I said your dad's fear was knowing who was going to kill him.
Yes, and so now I'm going to make sure that you get eaten by a shark. So you, and I'll be like, see what I mean?
Why does that have to do with me? I don't understand.
Yeah, exactly. You don't understand. But then when you get eaten by a shark, you'll understand.
You have weird logic, man.
I do. Beautiful Nightmare by Cringy2345.
Back when I was a kid, I got all these cool gifts for my birthday. Stuff like pencil crayons that have all different colors, kinetic sand, stuff like that. One birthday, my mom said she got me a very special present. Now, you can imagine how excited I was. My mom went to her bag and retrieved the special present. I carefully opened the paper wrapping. There it was, a golden colored box with a magnetic lid. I examined the box with fascination. In the box was a teddy bear with big blue eyes and rich brown fur. It instantly became my favorite toy. Fast forward a couple of weeks, I was woken up to a loud crash that was coming from the kitchen. I was so surprised when I saw, I was surprised, so I went to look. The lights were all off. There was a plate broken right in the middle of the kitchen, about 4 feet from any cupboard. I was a little scared, so I went and looked for my teddy. I couldn't find it anywhere in my room. I came to my mom to tell her what happened. We both went to the kitchen. She told me that it was probably just a prank that my older brother played. My brother was a prankster. About the teddy bear, we searched my whole room and couldn't find it anywhere. My mom let me sleep with her because I was still very shocked by everything. This went on for 3 more nights while my bear was missing. In the middle of the night, a plate or a cup would be smashed in the kitchen, sometimes in different spots. When we found my teddy bear, it had changed. Instead of blue eyes and rich brown fur, it had shiny red eyes and dark black fur. A couple of weeks later, my brother and his friends were just being boys, playing and climbing trees. They were laughing about how I was such a baby, still sleeping with a teddy at the age of 9. Then, my brother fell out of the tree. He broke his leg. I immediately knew that there was a connection between the teddy bear and the things that were happening to us. I told that to my dad. He took the bear to his small office he had. Guess what? My dad lost his job 4 days after he took the bear to his office. The bear was brought back home and placed in a cardboard box in the basement. After that night, I noticed a note written in some weird substance saying, "I just want to be with you." I showed it to my parents and they decided they had enough. They concluded that after my mom got me the bear, weird things started to happen. They concluded that the bear must be cursed or haunted. Being religious people, we took it to a church. They burned the bear and its box, then buried the ashes in a grave. Ever since the bear got destroyed, everything went back to normal. I still sometimes remember its golden package and the rich brown fur. I remember how beautiful that present was, and it turned out to be my worst nightmare.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, luckily, these are the kind of parents who just kind of were like, all right, let's get rid of it. Because usually I feel like parents are like, no, no, no. And they just keep denying and denying.
Yeah.
Like the story that we had submitted to us by one of our uglies about a Pee Wee Herman doll, where the girl felt like the Pee Wee Herman doll was evil or was doing something like moving and stuff like that. And instead of getting rid of it, their parents just put it in the attic.
Yeah.
And then things kept happening. It's like, yeah, well, why couldn't you just throw it away? What is it?
Well, it's money for them. That's all it is. You know, people put so much monetary.
Yeah, but who sees their Pee Wee Herman doll move or do something creepy, and they're like, man, I miss that doll. Can bring it back.
I mean, it sucks that the dad took the doll to work and then lost his job.
Yeah,
wonder if that's why.
He's like, you can't bring this weird bear in here.
Yeah, the bear's scaring the janitors. Everything's flying around at night.
That's weird that it's eye color changed and everything like that.
Yeah, no, I mean, this of all the stories we've read so far.
Or maybe, I don't know what kind of prankster her brother was. Maybe this was his best one yet.
I'm going to get my dad fired.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, she said he was really a prankster. Maybe she was serious.
And we're going to see another Reddit thread where it was, am I the ass for getting my dad fired?
Yeah. Or it's going to be like, hey, this one's called Getting My Dad Fired. My name's Billy. And then he does it like.
And welcome to Prankster.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's keep going. Magic Wand, written by Nick22.
When I was about 6 or 7 years old, my younger sister was 2 years old. My mom decided to buy her a toy wand that would make sparkling noises at the push of a button. We had maybe had it for about 6 to 8 months. When I was little, I always slept with my door open. My room was across the hallway from my brother's room. The kid's bathroom was in the middle of the hallway. One night, my sister had left the toy wand in the bathroom and the door to it was open. As I started to doze off, I heard a sparkling noise come from the bathroom. I immediately froze. I knew that nobody was in the bathroom. I didn't see anyone go in. Then I heard another noise coming from the wand. I got so scared, I was not able to sleep for the entire night. The next morning, I told my parents about what had happened. They told me that it was probably broken. I buy into it, but what happened the following night made me beg to differ. As I'm starting to sleep, I look down the hallway to my brother's room. His bedroom door was closed. I see a very dark figure of a man walking from side to side. I'm starting to freak out inside, but I don't make a sound. The figure finally stops at the middle of the door and turned in my direction. I'm literally about to scream my lungs out. Then I hear the sparkling noises from the wand again, and the figure disappears. We got rid of the wand a couple of months later. It's one of the scariest things I ever experienced in my entire life.
Man, that was just a wizard on his way through the portal.
And he's like, oh, I like this wand. Yeah. It makes noises.
Oh, sparkly. I like this wand. And it's like, yeah, we got rid of the wand a few months later. I mean, it was still really cool, so we kept it around for a little bit.
Until his batteries ran out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So anyways, we sold it at a garage, though.
Yes.
To a wizard.
So I included this because obviously it's about a toy, which is what dolls are.
Right.
And most haunted dolls have spirits attached to them. There's
something
attached.
Right, they're not like born haunted.
No.
Something attaches to them, just like something attaches to your house or when you have a haunted house, or something attaches to your daughter when you have a daughter in The Exorcist.
Yeah. So obviously, do you think that the figure that he saw was attached to the wand, or the figure was in their house already and attached itself to the wand?
Or really that the wand protected,
because it said that.
Well, he said it was sparkly, and it didn't make like. It sounds like it was just something like kind of going by, like, oh, okay, what is this? Ooh, it's something that liked it, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe it was a child ghost, or like a just some kind of spirit that has a childlike wonder, like, oh, what is this? I like this thing, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe it was just kind of having fun. Maybe it didn't attach to it at all.
And
maybe just liked it.
The wand sparked its interest till it could, so it manifested.
Yeah. Or maybe, it could have just liked it. I mean, that doesn't mean it has to possess it. Or, I mean, I forgot in the story where they said they got the doll or the wand.
Nowhere. It's just the mom got it.
Oh, okay. So maybe she got it from a thrift store. Maybe someone was attached to it. Maybe someone loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe someone was, you know, Protecto Carmelius or whatever on that one. And now or maybe it was a witch's wand and the witch was attached to it and she died or something like that.
Oh,
if she got it secondhand, you could pick up a glass bottle and it could have something attached to it. You never know.
You're right. Yeah. Well, that's why I was like, I wonder what Edie thinks.
Yeah, I could. I say there's two possibilities. Either it was something already attached that loves it, or it was something that was already in their house that kind of was like, oh, I like this thing. You guys leave out.
And then went with it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But it seems like it wasn't destructive because it said it made a sparkling noise.
Yeah.
And we all know that's a beautiful sound.
Yeah.
So he wasn't getting a bad vibe. So what do you think, Nick?
I did think at first that it was something attached to the wand, but then I think maybe, like you said, it could have been a playful ghost that just was like, oh, this is fun, you know? It'd be interesting to know.
Oh, I used to have one
happened.
Like this.
Yeah, oh, I like this. Toy is great.
All right, let's keep going. Waterfall Girl, submitted by My Middle Name.
When I was around 3 to 4 years old, I had a scary dream one night. I was on this veranda at this motel. The veranda was about 3 floors up, so the drop was far down. The motel had a man-made waterfall near this veranda. I could see down from the veranda. There was a doll on the rocky part of a waterfall. I got this urge to get the doll. I began to try, but then I heard a little girl's voice tell me not to try and don't get the doll. When I looked up, I saw a girl and her clothes were wet. Then I woke up. That's all I remember from the dream. Later on in the morning, my mom was watching the news where I was playing with toys. There was a story in the news about a little girl that just died. She had fallen from the veranda of a motel that she and her family were staying at. They found her body where the waterfall was, and nearby was her doll. The news showed the veranda. It was the same one in my dream. I was shocked.
All right. Wow. There's a lot of possibilities that could be going into this one. I'll let you go first.
It's crazy how, I wonder how close this was to him, his local news, how this little girl just jumped into her dream and kind of gave her own warning.
Right.
You know, that's
so,
what she saw.
Okay. This is what I was kind of thinking. Do you think that there is maybe something evil that's been trying to get these kids to chase this doll? To kill themselves, like to get hurt, and she fell victim to this, so she was now a ghost trying to help this girl not fall victim to the same thing?
Maybe. I mean, yeah, obviously this little girl's spirit was very strong and gave this girl a premonition, so the girl that told the story obviously has a strong spirit.
There's also the possibility that this girl was just trying to communicate, like, hey, this happened to me. You know how, like, in movies and things like that, one of the common things we hear about ghosts is they want their story to be told, right?
Yeah.
So it could be like, hey, I just want someone to know my story. I want someone to know what happened. Or it could be, hey, this really bad thing happened to me, and I see you're close by and you're a little girl. I don't want this to happen to you.
Yeah.
You know how kids are? They maybe can't have the comprehension of, like, this could happen. This was very specific to you. You might have been like, hey, this really bad thing happened to me. Are there any other little girls around? Oh, there's one. Hey, don't do this. Just so you know, don't do this because I just died.
Yeah, this is very bad.
I just died
don't
doing
get the
this.
Doll.
It's like, I was nowhere near a doll of veranda. No, just don't do this, okay? I'm just showing it to you to show you that if you ever get in this situation, don't do it. I'm totally dead right now.
Yeah, so don't. I'm guessing. You know, obviously, people who are close to the spirit world in their adulthood were unaware that they were close to it in their childhood.
Right.
So whoever this is...
No, I think they are. I think they're always saying, like, I always was new spirits.
So this may be, like, one of the first times at her age that she's, like, a spirit became aware of my...
Right. It could reach me.
Yeah.
Also, whenever you... I mean, I know this doesn't give it any basis, but whenever you watch TV shows about, like, ghosts and stuff, they're always, like... kind of wearing the way that they died.
Yeah.
Like if they got their head chopped off, it's like, hey, I still have my head chopped off. So maybe that's kind of like this girl's like, hey, this is what happened to me.
Yeah.
Because they're always, and I think the excuse in shows and stuff for that is they're trying to tell their story. This is what happened to me, blah, blah, blah. That's why they look that way. Because a lot of times they appear to people not that way, you know? They are not appearing as how they died or whatever. So I think it is like, it dependent upon the ghost, like, hey, I want you to know, I want to tell my story. And it's like, yeah, could you not tell me your story if you were bashed in the head by a forklift?
You know, and I wonder how many people have had these kinds of dreams and not realize it. Because if you don't see the news program, you won't know.
Right. But that's, now that I'm thinking of it, ghosts do always want to tell their story.
Yep.
This is what happened. That's why they reenact, like when we did the Civil War one, it's like they're reenacting the war.
Yeah.
It's like they're still there. So it's like this little girl's still there. Oh, wow.
So much.
Parallel. It's all scary. Right, let's keep going. Oh, right. This was a very spooky episode, but we are on to our last story. And you know what that means. I got to roll through these announcements. All right. Number one, don't forget to join the Facebook group after this, where you can share your scary story with all the other uglies. We'll read on True Scary Stories, give you our expert, super wacky opinion. And then also don't forget to follow us on Instagram at True Scary Stories with Edie. I post so many scary videos and funny scary videos. And even if you don't have a story, you should join those because the community is so fun and we have a lot of fun posting spooky memes and it's pretty fun. Anyway, besides that, I am on Instagram at Edie Gibson Comedy. No, I'm not. I changed it. Never mind. Forget me. Nick is at Nick Comic. And don't forget to give us 5 stars after this, guys. Please.
Yeah.
And another thing, I think next week we're taking the week off after 2 years of doing True Scary Stories every Tuesday. I think next week we are finally going to take a week off. So we will be back with a vengeance in October, which is the spookiest month. But Nick needs a little vacation after 2 years. Right, Nick?
Yes, I've read a lot of scary stuff, guys.
All right, so you get a week, and then you're back on.
yes, which is quite capitalistic of
you. You better be ready. All right, so the last story is called Homewrecker, and it comes to us from YK Writer.
This is an account of something weird that had happened to my mom when she was a kid. First thing that you should know is my mom is Korean. Back in my mom's generation, a lot of the houses were still made of brick and cheap materials. Wide space, 2 rooms, 1 toilet outside the house, the entire place surrounded by a wall made of stones, stacked high onto each other. My mom's family had been relatively poor back then, as nearly everyone else was at the time. Nearly everything that my mom and her younger sisters and younger brother had owned were secondhand or made out of scraps by my grandmother. One day, my grandma made a doll out of the old national flag that they owned, a little rag doll with a smile stitched into its face. My mom hated it on sight. It was ugly. In her opinion, the buttons for eyes and the wide grin on its face were creepy. After getting the doll, my mother started feeling like she was being watched. She shrugged it off thinking that she was being silly, but she never stayed in the same room as a doll without someone in the room with them. Then she started having nightmares. In her dreams, she would see the doll moving by itself. A giggle would escape it as it wandered around. It would leave the living room where it had been left and open the door to their sleeping space. Then it would just stare at the sleeping bodies of her family and herself. Every morning, my mom would wake up with chills down her spine. But again, she ignored the ominous feeling that would creep up with each night, always seeing the same dream of the doll moving and giggling. She didn't bother to talk about it because her parents were the no-nonsense sort. She thought that they would have had little patience for the seemingly overactive imagination of a little girl. Then one night, the dream changed. The doll was no longer wandering around the inside of the house. Instead, it went out, dragging a hammer with it. Then it started hitting the stone wall of the house with the hammer, crack after crack. The grinning doll continued to hit the wall. Then my mom woke up. The dream scared her. The previous dreams had been creepy, but it had been bearable. But now the doll was actually breaking something. She had a sinking feeling that the doll was not as harmless and innocent as it looked. She couldn't stand it anymore. She told her siblings and their mother about her dreams. Luckily, my grandmother is surprisingly superstitious for someone who seems to take things very seriously. In Korea, dreams, as well as other spiritual aspects of our lives, are taken quite seriously. Even today, modongs, Korean shamans, are somewhat feared and respected. Later that night, the family left the doll locked in the bedroom so that it couldn't get to the wall. The family camped out in the living room with the candles on. They fell asleep. Then they woke up hearing a loud crash from the room next to them. It was early in the morning, so it was still dark out. My grandmother quickly unlocked the bedroom door. The room was in shambles. The bedroom wall had caved in. Chillingly, it was the wall that had faced the part of the stone wall that the doll had been smashing in my mom's dream. The section of the outside wall that had been closest to their bedroom had somehow broken off. The heavy stones caved into the wooden wall of the bedroom. The stones had fallen to where, if the family had not relocated, they would have crushed her and her family to death. More creepily, although, everything in the room had also been crushed, broken, and covered in dust. The doll remained as pristine and smiling as it always was in the corner of the room, facing the wall to the living room next to it. Could have been a coincidence. The wall could have been worn down from the weather. The strong burst of wind could have been what knocked it over, but then it didn't explain why she had been plagued by the doll in her dreams, why the wall would suddenly fall over the night after she dreamed of the doll hitting it, nor did it explain how the doll managed to get to the corner opposite to where they had stationed it before locking the room. That day, my grandmother tossed the doll into a fire.
All right, and that seems to be how you kill all these dolls. Wow, and that wraps it up for this episode.
Hold
on, I'm not done.
Oh, okay.
This wraps it up for this episode of Toy Story 6. How did you like it?
Oh, I mean, it was scary.
You stepped on my joke for that.
Sorry.
I had a whole bit going on. I was thinking the whole time, I was like, Toy Story, how do I make this? This is like freaky Toy Story. This is like the other side of Toy Story. I couldn't think of it.
Toy Story of Terror.
Yeah, and then I thought of it, and I wanted to say my joke, and then there's no time. Okay, Nick.
Well,
what did you think of the story?
Okay, here I can either go with the evil side and think that yes, the doll was evil, did not like being called ugly. Who knows what the mom wrapped in it?
Right, the mom essentially made a voodoo doll, and then she's like, "Why? I made it out of a flag. I don't understand."
Out of our flag. Which
I mean,
may have been bad.
Yeah. Is that not kosher? Like, yeah, you usually don't make things out of our national flags. If someone made a doll out of if someone took an American flag and made a doll out of it, I feel like some people would be offended.
Yeah, I mean, who knows what the doll was made out of other than the flag, if the buttons were possessed, if she stuffed it with something.
Well, it's just not a thing you make a flag out of. It's not really super respectful, first of all. Second of all, it's like, really, she made a voodoo doll.
Yeah.
She just crafted this doll and then expected everything to be cool. I guess, I don't know, maybe it was something that had been just waiting for something to
attach to.
Yeah, and then I saw her making that creepy doll, and it was like, oh, yeah, this is weird.
Yeah, we can't wait to... Or here's my not-as-evil thought behind it. Maybe the doll was a good spirit that knew the wall was going to cave in because it was weak. So it was like, I have to warn her in her dreams, but I will make it. The only way I could think of is by showing, like, I'm cracking the wall. You know, it's going to break and fall because it was a bad wall.
One of the creepier things to me, too, is ghosts that are trying to warn you of something. And the whole time you're, like, scared of the ghost. And you're like, oh, they're scared of that. And then you realize they were just trying to warn you of something worse. That is, like... the antithesis of like a really good scary movie.
Yeah, so
because then
knows?
It's like the M, like it's like
a twist
at the end. You're like, oh, the ghost was just trying to help me of this really scary thing. I'm trying to think of a movie that goes like that, and I know there's lots, but I can't think of one right now.
Yeah, so you could think, if you want to go into this idea of spiritual coincidence, maybe at the time the wall was going to fall eventually from something, and a spirit convinced this mom to make a doll so that it could kind of manifest and be like, look, this wall is going to collapse and kill your family, so I need to scare you into the living room. You know?
I like it. All right. Well, I don't have anything to add, do you?
Well, I have one thing to add to our episode.
All right, go ahead. Ask
so, Edie,
question.
You got a question from the audience.
Oh, fantastic. I hope it's not about me reading a story.
No. Okay. So I went through our Instagram and I read some messages and I saw this question. Oh, and also, apparently we read a story, one of the listener stories, that dream was very much the plot of a movie.
Yeah, okay, guys. When we say true scary stories, we mean true. We don't vet it, okay? Well, we're not doing research to make sure that somebody actually had the dream. When we say true, we mean... they told us it was true.
Well, that's not, and also I was going to say either A, that listener did that on purpose, or they watched the movie and had a dream about it and didn't realize it.
Anyways, but that's when we say true, we don't mean vetted.
As true
as it
can
be.
Well, it's like any kind of truth.
People told us it was true. That's all we can do.
All right, so here's the question, and it's from Lou, I believe.
Okay.
Dear Edie.
Okay.
Just wondering, how about if your ashes are thrown to sea, how the spirit knows where his or her body is? So many questions, so few answers. Wondering when you were talking about bringing bodies back home to overseas. Love you both.
Okay, I hate to sound like an idiot like I always do, but I don't understand the question.
Okay, so, remember when we were talking about...
Yes, I know exactly what they're talking about.
So they're wondering, like, and I think we actually said this, when ashes are thrown into the sea... Basically, this person's wondering, does that person now haunt the sea? How the spirit knows where the body is?
We talked about that because we were like, what happens? But the sea is very haunted. Everyone knows that.
Yeah. So
even sailors always talk about, you know, seeing ghosts in the sea. And there's obviously many shipwrecks. Lots of people have died in the sea. So obviously the sea is haunted. Now, when you cremate somebody, you've kind of given them a proper send-off, haven't
yes.
you? You've honored them by giving them the respect of dealing with their death. What we are basically talking about is being like held overseas, like you were killed in a war and then you never get to say goodbye. Like you were not respected in your death.
Yeah.
That is the kind of thing that causes the unrest of a ghost, the haunting, the anger, because the disrespect and they also unfinished business. So we all know that if a ghost has unfinished business, they're more likely to be a ghost afterwards after they die. So when you cremate someone, you've given them respect, haven't you? And you've also given them the respect of not only disposing of their body, which is what we're all attached to. We're all attached not only to like houses or furniture or things you can possess, but we are all attached to our bodies. You are attached to your body as I am attached to my body. So when you die, it's kind of like having a haunted house. That your house is haunted because someone was attached to it. So now when you die, your body, you were attached to that. So if it's not disposed of properly, you're going to have ghosts because the attachment is there and the body wasn't disposed of. So when you cremate someone, you're paying them that respect. And then also to put on top of it, the respect of bringing their body somewhere beautiful, like the ocean. And paying the respect of driving them there and saying goodbye and pouring their ashes in the ocean. Extremely beautiful ceremony to let them move on, to let them let go of that, to let them unattach. So I do not think that that causes hauntings in the sea because there's no disrespect. There's no unfinished business. You know what I'm saying? It's not like when you die in a shipwreck and your body never gets, you know, found. You never get to say goodbye to your family never got to say goodbye to your body, you know, not that kind of thing. You were cremated, people got to say goodbye, and you were respectedly put in the ocean. I think there is no haunting in that.
No.
I mean, I can't say 100% sure, but that's just my opinion.
I think you're right, because the fact that a body's cremated means it was existing, and the family or the person that died
right.
asked
somebody
for a cremation.
Somebody gave respect.
Yeah, somebody asked for cremation, so it's like they're already in that ritual.
Now, if the person who died said, definitely never cremate me and throw me in the ocean,
then
you might get
then
a
you
ghost.
Have a problem. Yes.
You might get a ghost from that. But yeah, I don't think that causes ghosts, especially a lot of the time people will get cremated and someone will take half the ashes and somebody else will take the other half, like some kind of weird child support like meeting. So I don't think that causes ghosts because it's not disrespectful because someone wants to have them with them.
And I also think once you're cremated, that's your part of the bargain, the end.
Right.
What people do with your ashes after that, it's like, well, I just wanted to be cremated. So.
Right. I'm going cremated. My wishes are that I am cremated and I am sent in a vial to every single one of the uglies.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I want to be hoisted up a flagpole.
All right, Nick.
Okay. Forever.
Yeah, okay, good. I'll make sure that happens for you.
Thank you
so much, you guys, for listening to True Scary Stories with Edie. This has been another successful episode. Don't forget to give us 5 stars after this, and we will see you after the break, or we'll see you sooner than that on the Facebook group. We love y'all. Bye.